Brothers and sisters, also the guests in our midst, as we are present in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, let us rise and to worship the Lord, and after hearing his greeting, respond with Psalm 119, verse 13 and 66. Let us now rise to worship our Lord. Confess with me in your heart, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Our faith, the church of all times and places, by singing together hymn 1A.
Jesus Christ, his only begotten.
Let us now pray together as congregation. I'll lead you in that prayer. Eternal God, we thank you that you have gathered us here once again to worship you and to listen to your word. We thank you, Lord, that we were greeted with your triune name, the name into which we were baptized. For you are indeed our Father. You made the world and everything in it, the universe, with more stars than we can count or see, so vast and yet so intricate and orderly, all created, Lord, at your command in a mere 6 days. You made the heavens as well, with hosts of angels to do your bidding, a spiritual army beyond our perception. And Lord, you have formed each one of us, knitting us together in our mother's womb, with a rich diversity of abilities and personalities to serve you and each other. Lord, we marvel at your power and your wisdom, and we bow before your majesty this afternoon. Lord, we cannot grasp the scope of your creation. How much less can we grasp you, the Creator? Lord God, you are not only Father, you are also Son and Spirit. Three persons in one God. Father, we worship your Son, Jesus Christ, begotten and yet eternal. Equal with you and yet willing to humble himself, become flesh, so that he might die for our sins. We see your power, your divinity, in him who rose from the dead and ascended to your right hand. And there he is, he stands as our mediator to intercede for us constantly. For we need that, Lord. For by nature we are corrupt and cannot appear before you if he does not bring us to you. And you accept us through him. And from you and your Son proceeds also your eternal Spirit, Lord, equally glorious and worthy of praise. And then to know that this triune God comes to us. Lord, we feel so small, so unworthy. As Father, you make us your children. You place us next to your Son. You reach into our lives and hearts with your Spirit. Therefore, it's our prayer that you will grant us again this afternoon a sense of your mighty power. Impress us with your redeeming grace. And again, mold us by your Spirit and word. Conform us to your purposes and help us to acknowledge your absolute rights and to submit to your goodwill, to trust in your unending goodness and rejoice in your great faithfulness. Yes, Lord, to wonder in awe at your amazing grace. May your praises here below join with the chorus of angels above to give glory to your name. Grant that, Lord, not only to us here in this building, but also to those who cannot be with us this afternoon for whatever reason, legitimate. We pray that you will care for them, young and old, so that also they will feel the unity with the body of Christ here in Rockingham. And we praise you for your mercies in that. Bless us now as we open your word and make us receive your word in thankfulness and in faith. For to you and to the Son and the Spirit belong all honor and praise, now and forever. Amen. You now have the opportunity to serve the Lord with your financial means in the collection. The collections this afternoon will be for the Children of Light. after that, we will be singing Psalm 50, verse 1 and 2. Beloved, let us take our Bibles and read together a passage from Acts 16. We read the verses 11 to 18. After that, we'll read from the Belgic Confession, Article 20. First, Acts 16, the verses 11 to 18. Paul says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So far, the reading of God's Word. Let's now turn to Belgian Confession, Article 20. This all in connection with Lord's Day 5 of the Heidelberg Catechism, about our salvation and the way of that salvation. Article 20 of the Belgian Confession, in my Book of Praise, on page 455. The justice and mercy of God in Christ. We believe that God, who is perfectly merciful and just, sent his Son to assume that nature in which disobedience had been committed, to make satisfaction in that same nature, and to bear the punishment of sin by which his most bitter passion and death. God therefore manifested his justice against his Son when he laid our iniquity on him and poured out his goodness and mercy on us, who were guilty and worthy of damnation. Out of a most perfect love, he gave his Son to die for us, and he raised him for our justification, that through him we might obtain immortality and life eternal. Let's now continue singing from Psalm 50. Let's sing verse 3 and 4.
Sir,
Let us now read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5. My Book of Praise on page 478. Question 12. Since according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, how can we escape this punishment and be again received into favor? God demands that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, we must make full payment, either by ourselves or through another. Question 13. Can we by ourselves make this payment? Certainly not. On the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can any mere creature pay for us? No, in the first place, God will not punish another creature for the sin which man has committed. Furthermore, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. Question 15. What kind of mediator and deliverer must we seek? One who is true and righteous man, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is at the same time true God. Let us respond to the preaching with Psalm 86, verse 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the famous medieval preacher Anselm of Canterbury, who lived between 1033 and 1109, had a motto saying, Fides quaerens intellectum, that's the Latin, meaning faith seeking understanding, which for him meant an active love for God, an active love for God seeks a deeper knowledge of God. And he wrote, nor do I seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe that I may understand. And he possibly learned that from the great church father Augustine of Hippo, who once wrote, therefore, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that you may understand. And Anselm said that faith precedes reason, but that reason can expand upon faith. Faith seeks understanding, insight. Anselm's intention was not to come to faith by human reason, although human reason is of value, but to rejoice in the understanding of the things to be believed. That means that also what we profess as Christians, as Reformed Christians, should be well understood. This is also what we would like to do this afternoon. When it comes to the significance of Jesus' salvation. For we could, beloved, easily say, yes, I know that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and that he is my Savior. But do I really have to know and understand in detail how exactly that all happened? Aren't we anointed with the Spirit knowing all things? Yes, we are. Yet there's no excuse for being too lazy to learn the depths of Scripture. Because we love the Lord, don't we? We love the Lord with all our heart, but also with our mind. So don't we want to know every bit of detail concerning his redemptive work in our life? Of course. That's why we do Bible study together and personally meditate on God's Word. In order to discover again and again, God gave us this awesome wisdom. What we find in the Bible is not man's logic, but God's grace, His heavenly wisdom. And so our faith seeks understanding. Our faith wants to gain deep insight into the great redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's one Lord's Day that helps us with that, it's Lord's Day 5. It helps us, even in a logical way, to deeply understand salvation so that we shall worship our Lord again in awe for what we have received in salvation. Received that impossible thing. Well, that what seemed to be impossible with men, but which God made possible. This is also our theme. What is impossible with man is possible with God, namely, the way of salvation. We'll first look at the legitimate requirement on this way, namely, that we have to pay. Brothers and sisters, in Lord's Day 4, through the several questions there, we've tried to persuade the Lord to abolish His punishment for our sins. And the first way was to ask whether God is unfair, unjust. To which it appeared that He was righteous in all His punishments. We also then tried to gentle the Lord so that He may forget His anger against us and our sins. But it turned out that God is unchanging, true to His word. And that His wrath and punishment is entirely righteous. And then we try to escape punishment by emphasizing His mercy so that it will overrule His justice. That did not work either. To let God waive His punishment for our sin. And beloved, it became clear in Lord's Day 4 that we deserve God's punishment in time and eternity. It makes no sense to continue to challenge the Lord on our guilt. And this leaves us in our inquisitive search for the beauty of our salvation with only one option: to find a way to escape God's punishment on us. And in this most desperate moment, our catechism opens a chapter to our salvation and to our adoption as God's children. The way back to God, as Adam has once experienced, will be reopened. Indeed, an exciting perspective, a comfort and a consolation for us, as the tone set by Lord's Day 1, is also sustained here in Lord's Day 5. For we are familiar with our comfort in life and death. We may belong to Christ, but how does that happen? And what makes Lord's Day 5 and 6 later so exciting is not whether we can escape this punishment, but how can we escape this punishment? We want to understand the very detail. How could this be? How could that happen? How did it work that way? That we are again adopted into favor by God. Now, to start our confession presents us the bill of our guilt in answer 12. Who creates debt? We. Who has to pay? We again. We are obliged to fulfill what God requires. And what does God require? What does He demand? He wants harmony. He wants harmony between us and Him. He wants harmony to His glory, as it was in paradise. And beloved, this is a legitimate requirement from God to us, as we were created perfect. Yes, due to our rebellion, our fall, this harmony was completely disturbed. But that was not God's fault. And also 5 simply but clearly uncovers our great shame and guilt. We have fallen utterly short of the glory of God. There we stand. Each one of us. I cannot else but admit I am a miserable sinner. A broken and a shattered heart. Yes, a broken believer need to stand before the Lord. And only in this position, in this stand, we may draw near to God and ask, Lord, we deserve Your punishment, but how can we escape this punishment and be again received into favor? How did it come, Lord, that this is possible? And only then we may ask for a way out of this predicament of eternal damnation. And sure, there is a way out. But then only one way. Only one way to escape the extreme punishment of hell on us. And that is the way revealed to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that way then, beloved, starts with a payment. In order to be reconciled with God, you have to pay your debt. And that reconciliation can only be paid by satisfactory payment or atonement. The Lord wants only one thing for you, for your life, for us, is to write on your account, on our account, fully paid. And He wants us to take only that way to salvation, the way of payment. The way. Beloved, for that reason we read from Acts. For it's striking that in the book of Acts, the gospel of salvation or the Christian faith is often called the way. Acts 9 verse 2 tells us that before Paul was an apostle and still called Saul, he went to Damascus, and I quote, so that if he found any belonging to the way, capital letter even, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way. In Acts 16, we read of the slave girl who exposed the apostles with these remarkable words. These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And also in Acts 18 we read how the way of God is explained more accurately to Apollos. And Acts 19 speaks about the way which greatly stirred things in Ephesus. Even in Acts 24, Felix, the governor, has a rather accurate knowledge of the way. So at least 5 times the way is used as a term for the gospel, the way of salvation. So when we read in question 12, how can we escape this punishment? We are shown and pointed to the way of salvation that is proclaimed in the gospel. The way of payment. Our beloved is the Lord on this way of payment, a chilly creditor who presents us a new bill every day. Look at your sins. Look at what you've done. Look at your shortfalls. Pay. This is how God works. Is this way of reconciliation, in that sense, only about payment? Where's your spiritual credit card? Is it a business transaction for the Lord? Like, it should get paid, whatever it takes. And if not by ourselves, then by another. No, beloved, our God is not a chilly creditor who can only be friendly after all the debt is paid. He loved us when we were yet sinners, Paul says in Romans 5 verse 8. But because He loves us, and because He knows how severe and devastating our sins are, He wants this way of payment, this way of salvation, to be a way through which there is total deliverance, full restoration of the relationship between Him and us. There are so many who only want to take only part of this way. Sure, they'll do whatever they have to end up in heaven, to escape hell. And for that matter, they would love to pull out their credit card and make a payment themselves, in order for them to lay back and have a happy and ignorant life, not being bothered by anything or anyone. And unfortunately, there are many churches teaching this gospel, bringing you, so to speak, halfway, and then you have to do the rest yourself because you can. As long as you have a good feeling about all these things. But the Reformed Confession says that there's only one way of salvation, and that's going to be a complete way of payment. We seek nothing less than a way that will lead us out of the depths of hell into the glory of heaven. Out of a world of darkness into the kingdom of light. Out of miserable desolation into joyous communion with God. Yes, we seek a way through which people, once estranged with God, will be fully joined to Him. A way through which a people under wrath will live in the full favor of God. And so we pray every day, Lord, show us the way of salvation in which our entire life is redeemed, restored, renewed, and reunited with God, our Creator. Show me the way that leads to such destination. A way not of cheap salvation, but of deep salvation. The way of full payment for all our sins and shortcomings and transgressions. Unfortunately, beloved, that's what we'll find, is that on this way, there is a great obstacle. We cannot pay. And that's our second point. The great obstacle on this way, we cannot pay. Because there is a way, indeed. But the Catechism will first see whether we can travel that way. We first need to investigate that way of salvation. And it says, the Catechism, God demands that His justice be satisfied. We must make full payment. The way of escape does not lead us around God's covenant demands of righteousness and holiness. The way of deliverance and salvation leads us straight to the justice of God before His holy throne. And God also, well, God wants full satisfaction. He wanted us to completely do exactly what He wants, according to His righteousness. To love His will perfectly. Yes, to pay for every shortfall in that. And this means that we may not set our own terms of salvation, but that we must meet His terms and must do so fully. And here already becomes evident in our confession, a truth that is denied by so many churches and sects. Because God remains sovereign, also in the work of redemption. He's not about to drop any of his demands. In sovereign freedom and perfect righteousness, he upholds his demand from the beginning. Man should satisfy my justice. And now, our catechism makes quite clear that we cannot do that. Because of this humongous, enormous mountain of sins. This obstacle. We can no longer fulfill the wondrous law of God. And we have already accumulated an impossible debt. As question and answer 13 makes clear. It is a debt which we daily increase by our sins and shortcomings. Often I ask the catechism students to take a piece of paper and write down all the sins they committed that day. And after 5 minutes, where most of the time nothing happens, I ask who needs another paper to write down to continue. And you find that students will have 5 or 6 things that they did wrong. Unaware of that accumulation of sins and shortcomings. When you ask them, did you love God every moment of the day? And your neighbors as yourself? Then suddenly it becomes clear that that list will not even fit on 2 pages. We accumulate our debt and increase by leaps and bounds. It's indeed an enormous obstacle which we cannot pay for. Not through self-improvement, not through self-torture, not by self-purification can we ever pay God. Wasn't this what the reformer Martin Luther first tried? To have a merciful God by his own input? By ticking the boxes to make sure that people around me are happy, so God should also be happy with me. You found a merciful God in leaving God who He is. And so should we do. We continue to come to good understanding of this when we ask with the catechism, so how about something else, because this payment has to go through. I have to get to the Lord. I have to understand how this happens. What about an animal? Of course, animals can be of much help. Think of a dog or a cat or a horse. They can carry burdens, help detecting drugs or criminals, guide the blind, comfort lonely people. And in many ways, animals often are better than their bosses. But can they ever atone for the sins of their bosses? There's no way. No dog, no cat, no horse can serve a prison sentence in his boss's place. Yes, but what about the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament? Sure, but that was only provisional. It was a temporal symbol. Hebrews 10 verse 4 says plainly, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sins. Which means that neither can any mere creature, question answer 14, pay for us. Not even a perfectly obedient angel, despite being powerful and pure. And beloved, our confession gives 2 simple and clear reasons for this. First, in His justice, the Lord will not punish other creatures for the sin which man has committed. The blood of animals, the killing of a goat or a lamb or a cow, is only symbolic. It's not complete atonement. It cannot be atonement itself. Ultimate payment must come from the one who has sinned, from man himself. The soul that has sinned shall die, says the Bible. Second, the Catechism says, no mere creature can carry, bear, survive the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin and deliver others from it. Also, no angels. No creature can ever survive the eternal wrath of God. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Did anyone survive that except for Lot and his two daughters? That's what we all deserve. If we have to take that, we'll go under. We'll never rise again. We'll perish. Who can descend into hell and come back out of death and desolation? But there's still this. There's only one way. Namely, that we must pay. Mankind must satisfy the justice of God. But that's our great obstacle. We cannot. So what do we do? How does this work? Beloved, so we come to the heart of the Reformed doctrine of salvation. Here, all self-salvation, of which the world and the false church is so convinced of, all self-salvation is disarmed. Here, the greatest of all lies is unmasked. The lie that man, who has plunged himself into ruin, can himself climb out of that ruin to satisfy God and his Creator. That's the great lie of Judaism, of Pelagianism, of Arminianism. The lie says that we can do it, just do it. Because you've got the power in yourself. It might be a rocky road, but it's not an impossible road. Just put on the right tires and shocks. And just use all your positive resources, and you will eventually reach the heights of God's justice, recovering the position that you lost. Our beloved, we reject this false doctrine, this false direction, this false way, this false road. We say, Lord, you show us the way. And when he clearly shows us the way of his justice, the right way, we must admit again that we cannot go that way ourselves. We have to, but we can't. There's the road, God says. And when we look at the road, we see a mountain which we cannot conquer. And we might even ask, Lord, why show us the way if we cannot go that way? Still, Acts 16 speaks of the way. On that way, there is only one possibility for us. We cannot go that way unless God Himself opens that way and goes that way. And that's our third point. The only possibility on this way, our mediator can pay. Brothers and sisters, the last question of this Lord's Day has a hint of despair about it. What kind of mediator or deliverer must we seek? Let's get to the answer. Let's understand this. For our faith's sake and for your glory's sake, Lord. And the original version of the Catechism reads, what kind of mediator must we then seek? What kind of person can open that way and go the full way of God's justice and payment for us? And it's beautiful, beloved, to see how the Catechism, as so to speak, hurries to answer. One who shall satisfy God's justice. And he must be man, true man, a real living person with our flesh and blood. He must be a righteous man without debts of his own, able to meet the demands of God's law in all things. And if he's to bear God's wrath and survive it, he must be divine. He must be divine. One who is at the same time true God. You might say, well, does this bring us much further? Where shall we find such a person? Shall God then come into the flesh to help us? Is this not an impossible thing? Do you see, beloved, where we wind up in Lord's Day 5? Salvation or deliverance is not a small or a cheap thing. We cannot achieve it. The Lord must do it. He must open the way. He must go that way so that we may follow. He must remove the obstacles so that we can progress. This is the only possible way. But does that really mean that heaven has to come into motion and God Himself will have to rise from His throne to be the way of salvation? Unbelievable. Yes. We must understand that the Lord is not obliged to do so. He will have to do this sovereignly and freely because of His own good pleasure and in His own free will through His great love and mercy. And we will have to say, as Job did in Job 9 verse 15, I would beg mercy of my judge. Yes, we must find ourselves on our knees, imploring God for His grace to open this impossible, only with Him possible way, in an unimaginable manner. And our great joy is that God did that. He did open that way for us. The entire part of deliverance, Lord say 5 to 31, is about this miraculous manner in which God opened this way of salvation and went the way of salvation in Jesus Christ our Savior. The disciples once said to Him, Master, Lord, show us the way. And He gave them this awesome answer, this unimaginable answer, I am the way. And they stood there. They couldn't grasp. Yes, we were given to Him who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who went before us on this way of salvation. And that way, at one terrible cost, His life, God's own life, as man on this earth. But the results were magnificent. And now we have that mediator, Jesus Christ, who fully satisfies for our sins. You know, when I read this passage the first time about that slave girl in Philippi who followed Paul and speaking about the way, I was grasped by the satire of this passage. That a devil in a slave girl understands this way. But she was spot on when she said that the apostles are servants of the Most God High who proclaim the way of salvation. They proclaim the one and only way of salvation, the way of justice and the mercy and the payment of God in Jesus Christ. That is the full way which God made possible. And that is the way that is preached from this pulpit, week after week. And therefore we need to listen to the remaining part of the catechism about our deliverance. Not with a yawn, I've heard this so many times in my life. But on our knees, understanding what it cost the Lord to open this way. For He loves us and our children so dearly. Congregation, maybe not a complicated story after all, this explanation about the way of salvation. Yet faith seeks understanding, insight. Yes, love, as Anselm says. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we want to know and understand exactly what was impossible with men and what was made possible with God. It will comfort you in this week. Also, when your faith is weak, or perhaps if you even struggle to believe. So let us be glad that our catechism took the time and takes the time to explain this to us, so that we will ever be amazed by the way, giving the Lord all the more glory and honor for saving us from eternal hell. Indeed, to him be the glory. Amen. Consistory has asked me to repeat the announcements of this morning. Consistory will, with the deacons, meet, the Lord willing, Monday at 7:30. The station has been requested by the J. Slow family to the FRC Armadale. He is currently employed by Armadale for working in PNG and will be leaving in February. All regular Bible study clubs and catechism classes will resume this week. And there's one home visit this week to the J. Bosfeld family Thursday at 8 p.m. So far the announcements. Let us unite in prayer. Our great and majestic God, merciful Father, we confess your holiness and justice. We know that you justly demand satisfaction. You demand payment for the sins committed against you. We need your wrath to be turned away and your favor turned towards us again. We need propitiation. We thank you for Christ our Savior, who came to give us what we so urgently need. Please, Lord, help each of us with your Spirit so that we would always turn in what he has done and in him alone. Please continue working faith in our hearts so that we would never trust our clever plans to save ourselves. We'll tick the boxes to keep the elders from our backs, but to sincerely love you and submit our lives to you and to trust no one else and nothing else but you. Lord, we know that you cannot look upon sin. You do not wink at sin. And that you would have punished us perfectly and justly, if it wasn't for Christ. And therefore, we thank you for that way, for giving us a way of escape through Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we could hear the gospel about our Savior again. We pray that you will help us with your Spirit so that we continue to receive and accept that gospel of salvation. Never get bored with it. For it's a gospel to salvation. It's a way to eternal happiness. We pray that you would help all of us to indeed be confident of our place in your kingdom through Jesus our Savior. And help us all to be sure that our escape has been made through his perfect life and death. Father, we also ask again for your help in sharing this good news and this escape through Christ with others. Please give us opportunities to speak with friends and neighbors and co-workers about the thing that matter most. Please give us the wisdom and the words to always point to our Savior as the true escape from the real problem. We pray for the help of your Spirit in this, to comfort us, to console us. Because of ourselves, we are inadequate and weak. Please do this because we love the people around us and we want the gospel to go out and accept it and be accepted and your name be praised. Grant us, Lord, that not only in words but also in deeds we will witness about the reality, the fact that we are saved by you. That the way we speak to our children, to our loved ones, the way we conduct our business, the way we deal with one another in the church will reflect that we are saved to eternal life. Therefore, work powerfully with your Spirit in our hearts. Regeneration every day. Lord, we praise you for again the opportunity that we had on this day to meet with you and with one another. And will you bless us as we depart from here? Protect us on the roads and bring us safe back home and guide our speaking and the discussions and deliberations for the remaining of this day. That you will indeed be the center of our lives. For we love you. Because you loved us first. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now sing our last song for the service, hymn 30, the verses 1, 2, and 5. Sisters, receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.